Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Percent of evangelicals say they believe spiritual energy is located in mountains and trees. A similar number say they believe in astrology. And we see even higher figures among other Christian groups.
It sends a message to gay and lesbian Episcopalians that there are no barriers to them in our church. In our church, we're open and receptive to people.
The lights are beautiful. We decorate our homes. We sing songs. We play the game dreidel.
The world is waiting for a proper deal here. We don't have time, and we have only this one world, you know. If it goes, we're all done.
You may have seen the headline, 5 U.S. Muslims arrested in Pakistan for terror links. The key word here, jihad. What does it mean? Someone wants to train for jihad. I would say that would raise red flags anywhere you are, much less in Pakistan. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, December the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to spend the first part of this hour talking with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch about those arrests in Pakistan and about American homegrown terrorism. We'll spend a little bit of time with Clark Forsyth of Americans United for Life discussing the Hyde Amendment. And then the last half hour is devoted to wilderness spirituality. Is that how it works? You get in your canoe, you paddle away, or you get in your car and drive into the woods. You camp for a while. You get in touch with nature and maybe even with God. We'll have Craig Parton evaluate wilderness spirituality in the last half hour of this hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You could email us talkback at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Robert Spencer is founder of Jihad Watch, author of numerous books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, welcome back.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
Do you think that homegrown terrorism is on the rise or the decline in the U.S.?
It's a sharp rise, Todd, actually. 2009 has been a record year for jihad plotting by American citizens and by U.S.-based jihadis. As a matter of fact, a full one-third of the domestic jihad plots that have been uncovered and attacks that have been perpetrated on U.S. soil since 9/11 have emerged in this year alone. And so that's two-thirds from 2001 to 2008, and then of the final third in just this past year. That's a very sharp uptick.
The picture that we have kind of typically in our mind is they may be foreign nationals, or they may be students studying here on student visas, or someone here on a work visa, but there's someone born someone else, raised in a Muslim country, and then they come here under false pretenses and attempt in one form or another to carry out or plan acts of terrorism. We don't think about U.S. citizens very often when we think about terrorism.
Right. Well, a lot of people, they think that this is only something that even can happen elsewhere, and they assume that the American Muslim community is moderate, modern, secular, and is consequently not anything that anybody has to worry about, and that it would be unheard of for American Muslims to be teaching the kinds of things that lead to jihad activity. But in point of fact, the reality is very different. In 1999, 2 years before 9/11, and full 10 years now, almost 11 years ago now, the head of the Naqshbandi Sufi Order, which is a relatively peaceful Muslim group, the head of it, Sheikh Mohammed Hisham Kabani, actually toured a great number of American mosques and then testified before a State Department open forum about the extent of radicalism in those mosques, and he said that 80% of American mosques were under the control of extremists. That was in 1999. Then it was confirmed by a study by the Center for Religious Freedom in 2005. that said just the same kind of thing, that 80%, once again, of the American mosques were controlled by extremists. And then that was echoed again in 2008 by the Mapping Sharia Project, which found yet again that 3 out of 4 mosques taught hatred of Jews and Christians and the necessity ultimately to subjugate them under the rule of Islamic law. This being the case, it really is kind of out of focus to be surprised about homegrown jihadis. They are teaching these things in American mosques, and so we shouldn't be surprised when that teaching bears fruit and some Muslim decides to act upon those teachings.
So how do you read the story about these 5 American Muslim students?
Well, I think that these are people who were trying to be more religious. That's really essentially what we see in virtually all jihad stories, stories of young Muslims getting caught up in jihad activity. They are moved by a religious impulse, which is common to all people who are religiously inclined, spiritually inclined, that they want to get close to God. They want to love God with greater fervor. They want to know God. And in a Muslim context, this leads them to violent jihad activity because that is what is taught in the religion, that it is the greatest deed after professing the faith in Allah and Muhammad as his prophet. The greatest deed after that is to wage jihad. And so somebody who wants to please God in the greatest way is going to be attracted to this kind of activity.
So these are young men attempting to be true believers, if you will.
Yes, precisely.
So what is it exactly? I mean, I guess I imagine that someone who begins to dabble in Islam may not see it right away, but to take the veil away, if you will, what is it Islam teaches about jihad? And what is it that eventually, if someone wants to devote one's life to genuine Quranic Islam, they would need to believe and accept?
Well, Todd, jihad means struggle in Arabic, and the struggle takes many forms. There is indeed a spiritual struggle that is within the soul of the believer to conform his life to the will of God. There is also the struggle that is military. And that is quite clear and explicit in Islamic theology. It's not as if it was made up by Osama bin Laden. It's something that's very deeply rooted and traditional in Islamic theology, that it is part of the responsibility of believers to wage jihad against unbelievers. And that takes the form of warfare, whether it's hot warfare or warfare by other means, that is designed to bring about the objective of imposing Islamic law over the people being warred against, over the non-Muslims. And there is the teaching in Islamic theology that non-Muslims have no right to wield political power. And if they do, it's the believer's responsibility to try to dislodge them from that power by any means possible. And so this is the jihad that we have to deal with, that we have to be afraid of, that we have to be concerned about, not afraid in terms of cringing or cowering, but in terms of a healthy realization that this is a serious, severe threat to the United States government, to American society, to Judeo-Christian civilization, to Judaism, to Christianity, to all non-Muslim religions. And as such, it is something that I think has to be dealt with accordingly, has to be recognized as for the kind of threat that it is, and then steps taken to defend our society, our notions of human rights, our notions of personal responsibility and freedom, which are directly contradicted and challenged by the vision of society and law that the Islamic jihadists want to impose upon us.
We're stuck with these categories, but I want to know how you evaluate the categorization of there are Muslims and then there are radical Muslims. We think of kind of the Muslim next door, and then we think about Osama bin Laden, and it is usually asserted, especially by our leaders, regardless of political party, that these are people who have co-opted Islam for totalitarian political ends. Evaluate that, if you would.
Well, you know, people who say that that anybody has co-opted Islam for totalitarian political ends has a fundamental ignorance of what Islam is all about. Islam is a political and social system, as well as an individual religious faith in the Western sense. And it always has been. And so for a non-Muslim to say that the Islamic jihadis have co-opted Islam for political ends only demonstrates that they do not recognize just how deeply rooted those political ends are within Islam in the first place. And so as long as they don't recognize that, then of course it's going to lead them inevitably to this kind of misdiagnosis that they think that the true Islam is not political, is spiritual, because the true Judaism, the true Christianity are in that sort of mode. But in Islam, the political aspect, the idea that Muslims must fight to impose Islamic law over societies, is part and parcel of the core responsibilities of the religion. And consequently, the Islamic jihadis are able to appeal, and they can and do appeal, to peaceful Muslims around the world as being the genuine embodiment of the genuine religion, that they are the real ones who represent the true faith. And if people want to represent the true faith, they want to live out the true faith, then they have to behave in the same way. And they gain recruits in this way, on this basis, by saying working for political Islam, working for the imposition of Islamic law in society, that's what Muslims ought to be doing. We're the ones that are really doing it. We're the authentic Muslims. And the peaceful, moderate Muslims have no coherent or Islamically correct response to that they are able to make headway against the ideological appeal of the jihadis.
Robert Spencer is founder of Jihad Watch, author of numerous books, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. You can even purchase it there, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll talk about the Hyde Amendment. It's been much in the news because, of course, healthcare reform keeps bumping up against it. It is one of those things that is always being approved every year. Now, you've heard that the Hyde Amendment bans all federal funding for abortion. That's the simple story. The truth is a little more nuanced than that. And the Hyde Amendment, while it is renewed every year in various appropriations bills, has changed over the years. We'll find out what the Hyde Amendment was, what it is now. Clark Forsyth of Americans United for Life, based in Chicago, will be our guest. He's author of the book, Politics for the Greatest Good, Prudence in the Public Square. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
From His Fullness, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
We who are utterly empty, with nothing in us but sin and corruption, we receive from Jesus, this child, everything that He is as both God and man. The fullness of deity dwells bodily in Him.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size, year-end, tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2009.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.